Hey there, welcome to another episode of Bill Selleck Talks. My name is Bill Selleck. This is me talking. So, my third grader has been asking me most nights, what am I going to do for a job when I grow up? What's my job? What am I going to do? And like any parent, very obviously, I respond with the Scott Center for Social Entrepreneurship prompt. It's not about what your job is. The question I ask her is, what matters to you? And then what do you want to do about it? Right? So huge shout out right off the top to Annie Makla, who is the director of the Scott Center for Social Entrepreneurship. My third grader now, she's just like, I know you're going to ask that. What matters to me? And then at this point, she's like, what matters to me? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's a nice reference from Hotel Transylvania. But it's true. Like, I don't care what your job is. You're going to have a bunch of jobs. You're like eight. Doesn't matter what your job is, what matters to you. And I'm reflecting on this as my life has happened thus far. And I realized that my 20s ended up being like a little DIY apprenticeship. And as I was doing all these kind of random jobs, I have found that they have teed me up to be a director of technology in like a really, really good way, in a way that I never could have planned. And if I had followed kind of the traditional, like, you know, let me go to school and pick like a responsible degree, like engineering, and then got a job that was engineering, which, by the way, would not have been a good fit, but, you know, those are great jobs, ended up just following like what mattered to me. And so my undergrad, you know, was in music, studied sound design, classical guitar. And, you know, in my 20s and even in my teens, as I'm thinking about what I have to do at this job, you know, as tech director at Hillbrook, where are all these kind of moments? And I actually see a lot of parallels. I was talking with John Ike, so shout out to John. He heard, you know, kind of, we're just back and forth on Voxer. Yeah, we're still using Voxer. And it's great for commuting and keeping in touch with people, just kind of riffing on ideas like this. He's like, you know what you're describing? It reminds me of Slumdog Millionaire. So I'm going to just totally like run with that idea, right? Where, none of the problems, none of the questions he could have answered in that movie would have been answerable had it not been for his life skills that happened to tee him up in this really specific way, right? You know, as, you know, question one comes up, there's a story where he knows the answer to question one, but it's because of his life. And so I wonder if we dive into that and actually look at a couple different examples of what I do in my role as director of technology, and how these jobs that I never would have guessed would have aligned with doing this job well, actually like team me up to do a really good job of this. The first one right off the bat was my very first job was at Disneyland, right? So my very first ride that I got trained on, I was Attractions East, was Captain EO. Right, so the ability pretty quickly to be able to talk in front of a giant theater full of people. There was a lot in that script, by the way. You know, it was like three full pages that we had to memorize before we would get like signed off on being able to actually get scheduled on the show. I wonder if I remember it. I bet I still remember some of it. It's been a while. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Magic Eye Theater. Captain EO is a 3D science fiction adventure film. Some scenes may be loud for those with sensitive hearing. If you or those in your audience have sensitive hearing, please exercise discretion, right? And it goes on and on. The ability just to like go up in front of a group, do a spiel, like has always felt pretty comfortable for me. And I wonder now, is that why? Because 16-year-old Bill learned how to talk in front of people and got paid, you know, a whopping $5.25 an hour, like well above minimum wage at the time, to do Captain EO. And then the one that actually jumped out to me the most, I think, was actually guest control. Some people call it crowd control. We were told to call it guest control. And for an entire summer, we had Fantasmic entrances. This task was mostly getting people out of the first show and into the second show. So we had about 8,000 people that would see Fantasmic. I say we as though I had that much to do with it, but I kind of did. 8,000 people would leave, and we'd have them leave through Adventureland. So if you know Disneyland in Anaheim, you can kind of picture this, right? Past Jungle Cruise, past the Bengal Barbecue, and out that that South Bridge, and then, you know, try and actually just send them home. But they could also kind of wrap around and, like, get back into, like, you know, Fantasyland if they need to, or up way up to Toontown. It's a little Modern Family reference, if you remember that one. And at the same time, at the exact same moment, about 6,000 people would come in for the second show, and that's normally where I was. So we route them into Adventureland and would actually build a physical barrier of benches to wrap them around to the right, like around Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and then cut in. And so for an entire summer, my job, you know, halfway through college, was to get basically 14,000 people to trade places. And so one of my duties every afternoon, almost every afternoon, I get Fridays off on the schedule, is carpool duty. And did you know what this is where I was going with it? Well, you do now. So we have, you know, whatever, 100 cars coming in kind of at the same time. And I'm there in the parking lot. You know, we have kind of four lanes of, you don't know, so I'll tell you. Some of you might know. You've been to Hillbrook. As you come in and go to the right, there's four lanes queued up. And then they make like a big U-turn, and there's this nice little overhang where other colleagues are actually calling the kids, opening the doors, getting them in, sending them home. And I'm queuing up and sending those four rows of people. And I have been told, either by people rolling down their window like on the last day of school saying, "You're so good at this, thank you so much." I'm like, "Oh, you're welcome." Or when the day after I got my my booster shot, and if you've not gotten your booster shot or any of your COVID vaccines, get on it, please. Keep yourself safe, keep your students safe, keep your family safe. You know, I was out for the count the day after my booster shot. I slept for like 16 hours maybe. And so, you know, had a substitute for that afternoon carpool duty telling which cars were to go when. And apparently on WhatsApp, the third or the fourth grade parents were like messaging my wife. They're like, "Isabel, where's Bill? Things are not going as smoothly as they normally are." And she's like, "Yeah, no, he's asleep right now. Booster shot." And they're like, "We miss him. It's so good when he's here." And I really credit a lot of that to, you know, the 14,000 people that we managed when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, working at Disneyland, right? Like all these kind of random jobs, who would have known that working at Disneyland would make me good at being a tech director and helping out with carpool? And yet it very much did. Sound is the second thing I'm going to talk about. I'm going to give you two examples of this and how it has absolutely saved the day for me. So a mixer, you're going to learn a little bit here. Even if you know how to use a mixer for live sound or even recording sound, you can use it in ways that people don't think you can use them. And I actually learned this very, very quickly. And I think part of how I learned this is that I do have a degree in music, right? Emphasis in sound design. So we really learned a lot. Like I remember there was like an article that our professor printed for us about mixers and about busing and about channels. And the whole idea about a mixer is that you get sound in and you get sound out, right? So there's labels of like really suggestions of how to use it. So if you plug something in the back on channel one, then that fader and the preamp on channel one will control that sound, right? Which is pretty obvious. And then most people have like the main speakers, the front of house speakers going out main left and main right. So then that fader that says LR will control your front of house volume, right? Like that's simple enough. If you have like a fancy reverb, you might go like output of auxiliary one to the reverb and then return auxiliary one so that when you turn that aux one button, you get reverb. Right, like this is how most normal humans set up a mixer. That sounded like thunder. That was not thunder. That was me hitting the spring on the boom. Should we do that again? Should we just pretend it's thunderous outside? Let's try it again. Quick tangent. The Star Wars lasers that you do is actually Ben Burt going up into a hike outside of, I think around Marin, right? He had to be up north, kind of in this area at Skywalker Sound at the time, went on a hike, and there's that giant cable that attaches to like big towers. I don't know, like electricity towers or something or whatever, but like a giant thick, like, you know, maybe a diameter of like 1 inch thick, like spun wire to hold up these massive towers. If you strike it, it actually bounces the sound all the way up and all the way back and makes, you got it, like a laser sound. Choo, choo. Like those are actually Ben Burt, the sound designer, who's a brilliant human, just hitting the wire that goes up to the big tower and recording it. Anyway, I was just gesturing with my hands and happened to hit that spring. And just, man, there's quite a storm. Well, that actually has more of a pitch to it. That almost sounds like a piano. Anyway, not the point. The point is, as you are routing sound, you can go in and out anywhere you want. And so, you know, in 2002, I helped build a recording studio actually pretty close to Anaheim. And actually had to, you know, like measure, we were measuring cabling and like running it underneath the floor. And like, as you're actually building a studio, you realize it's just one thing connecting from here to there, right? It plugs into the thing, it goes underneath and connects to, you know, the vocal booth. Like there's nothing magical about it. And so here's where I'm going with this. I learned that you can rewire a board however you want. When we were at Magic Mountain, a couple friends were performing, it was the Matt Maher band, and my friend Francis was like, hey, like they're flying in, they're hoping to just use some gear so they don't have to travel with all the gear. I was like, sure. So I brought my amp. We got to go like underneath the roller coasters, and that was pretty cool. Got to get there early, got to go to Magic Mountain for free, although we were busy, and you're gonna find out why. Only got to go on one ride, but it was awesome, and it was free concert. They got to use my amp, you know, which is just a fantastic amp. But we don't need to talk about that today. And as they're sound checking, I happen to be back by the board because they were kind of plugging stuff in before the sound person arrived. And once they started playing, I looked down at the board and literally a puff of smoke comes up, like out of a cartoon, a puff of smoke. I was like, that's not good. So very quickly, called down AV and they're like, yeah, we don't keep extra soundboards. I guess we're canceling. And I was like, hang on. And so figured out what was working, what wasn't working. Enough of the channels were working, but actually the left and the right were broken, right? Something got fried, like literally got fried and went up in smoke, like literally up in smoke. I don't say literally often, but an actual puff of smoke. I can still picture it. And realized that auxiliary one was working. And not all the channels were working, but enough of them were working. The mains weren't working. None of the faders were working, but auxiliary one was working. So I think I ended up either setting up or running the live sound, the front of house sound, for the concert. And the only way we could actually adjust the volume, which is like all of live sound, right? Like the vocals are this loud, the guitars are this loud, you know, every mic on the drum is this loud. It's really complicated. All of that was run on auxiliary one. And then the front of house speakers were connected to auxiliary one out because the left and right were broken. And so like very quickly learned that and kind of saved the day. Let's take a moment and like, and kind of drink that in. Cause that was good stuff. So how does this come into play? So last Friday, you know, we have our all school assembly. We call it flag because there's usually a flag there. So for whatever reason, we call it flag. And it was rainy on Friday. So instead of being outside where we have half the school in person, half are remote, so we're using StreamYard to actually live stream that to not only families that can watch it from anywhere in the world these days, but also to the other classes that aren't in person. But we were in the gym. So it's a completely different sound system, completely different setup. And I had to find a way to get sound out of the sound system into our live stream setup. Otherwise, it's just like the built-in computer speaker grabbing whatever available sound there was. And that's going to be just super reverby. It would have sounded so bad. As it was, the solution, the TV wasn't grounded, and so it ended up buzzing. But I think I have a fix for that for the next time it rains and we have flag indoors. But how I ended up getting sound into our live stream computer, are you ready for this? you know, you have the main left and right out. In this case, in our gym, we had like an 8-channel thing. So like one and two went to a power amp that was like on the right side of the gym. The output three and four went to a different power amp that went to the gym on the other half of the gym, like different power amps powering different speakers. And so we ended up having four of them. And, you know, this was like way behind. There's cobwebs everywhere. No one has used this since it was set up like 20 years ago. And I see that channel 8 is available. It's like, ah, all right. So I get an XLR cable. That's the microphone cable with like the three dots. Plug a female XLR cable in. This particular one has a quarter inch, like a guitar cable on the end of it. It's like, cool, I can work with this. Then I get a quarter inch adapter to an eighth inch adapter. That was like the headphone one, right? The old school headphone before was Lightning, like eighth inch headphone jack. Then I have that. And then I still have to get it to our live stream computer. So what do? I get a female eighth inch to female eighth inch. And then I get a wireless guitar transmitter that's eighth inch and connect that. And so there's this kind of ridiculous chain. And then I can go through this, so one rack, if that means anything to you, you can picture it like a one rack piece of hardware that's, you know, maybe 2 inches tall. Hit the number 8, went through all the menus, ended up turning up the volume on just 8 because it was at minus infinity, which is like no sound going out. Ended up going back and forth and finally found a way to get sound out of the 20-year-old sound system wirelessly into our laptop for the live stream. So again, there was a grounding issue and I'm going to fix that for next week. But right, how cool is that setup? Were you able to follow me a little bit with it? And so had I not helped build a studio in the early 2000s or helped rewire the Magic Mountain sound system for live sound going out of Auxiliary One, I never would have thought like, hey, let's actually kind of see how we can get sound out into a more interesting place. And so moving forward, we actually have a decent system now for getting sound into a computer, which was never really a need before. And yet here we are. And so what I encourage you to do just in general in your life, definitely with your students, if you have younger kids, absolutely, like, I strongly recommend this approach. And I could go on and on. There's all kinds of examples of how these random things in my life have led to like just the right skill set at just the right time that I never could have predicted. I encourage you to continue to encourage you to encourage your students to encourage you to encourage your own kids to, if you got them, to just follow what matters to you. What you're going to end up doing is making a difference in the world, first of all, right? Second thing, you're going to actually like enjoy it because you're following your passions, you're following your curiosities. And then finally, what I'm hoping you are picking up that I am trying to put down today is that you're able to actually like build these skills, build your own kind of apprenticeship, if you will. Will you? You're not responding out loud. That's okay. I'll give you one more chance. Will you? Yeah. All right. You're building your own apprenticeship in your 20s and really like through your entire life by doing these kind of random passions of yours that are going to at some point possibly come in handy. And when they come in handy, you're just like, what? Like, I never imagined that working, you know, Fantasmic when I was 17 is going to come in handy when I'm in my, you know, early 40s now doing carpool at my school as an admin. And yet it does. Or that, you know, like helping build a studio when, you know, I was in like my early 20s would come in handy when I was trying to do a live stream at Hillbrook as I'm director of technology. And yet all these random things end up actually coming into play and making such a difference. So the challenge for you, as we start our outro music, the challenge for you is to continue to think what matters to you and then do something about it. And because you're an educator, you're not going to just do that for yourself, right? Do that for your students. When they ask, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? Or what should I be when I grow up? What should my major be? Just ask what matters to them and encourage them to just pursue whatever, right? Because they're going to end up building their own apprenticeship. They're going to end up doing their own thing. And at some point, that's going to come in handy and it's going to be amazing. So, thanks for listening. My name is Bill Selleck.